we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, and I have a question this afternoon about what to do going forward. A group of physicians gathered in the last week to discuss exactly what has been going on in the community of physicians as well as the public health response over the last few years. And among that was coming out with a statement that basically refuted what has been continuously given to us as fact, which is that the response that was done over the last 2 years was correct and scientific. And I guess I opened up that question to Stuart Tankersley this afternoon. Stuart, over the last 2 years, do you agree with the global COVID summit that not only has everything been done incorrectly, but it's been done in a way that violates not only human rights, but basic medical ethics?
Amen, 100%. This wonderful organization of people, of experts in leading the global COVID summit this past week details so many of the examples that have clearly been shown the lack of transparency, the lack of integrity, the silencing of dissent, despite the ongoing immoral, illegal, unethical approaches from almost every angle in bureaucratic, governmental, at international, national, and state levels, as well as in the hearts and minds of those that are supposedly responsible for the day-to-day practice and the day-to-day interventions among patients by the millions. We've been bewildered by it from the beginning, and we've sought so many times to intervene and encourage dialogue, and of course, it's not been forthcoming. But I think this summary by these luminaries is right on target, and the only way to explain it to people today on our podcast is to kind of bring out several of the highlights of it. I think this isn't your opinion, my opinion. This is broadly recognized errors. And with it being so broad-based, it seems that there's only way this could have been intentional from the get-go.
Yeah, I agree. I think, as discussed, actually 2 weeks ago, the Biden administration licensed the spike technology for the vaccines to the rest of the world. I'm not sure the rest of the world wants their technology, but it was interesting to me to find out when this technology was developed, which was 2016. And I'm not sure anybody in 2016 was talking about COVID-19 or knew that it was even an issue. Now, it is interesting that the guy who was working with the bat lady in Wuhan, Ralph Baric, was also responsible for developing this spike protein technology that stabilized it for vaccines. Just a little bit of an oversight mechanism that the FDA or any NIH or NIAID should be doing would be, how are you connected to both these things, and why aren't we investigating you for their connection? I'm not saying that there's actually evidence that he's involved, but I really think there's so much smoke over there. In fact, the buildings might be burning because it's so warm. But the first thing I would do with this global COVID summit is let's talk about One, the first, they have 10 kind of ideals that they say, they're principles. The first is declaring that the data confirmed that the COVID-19 experimental genetic therapy injections must end. And it's funny that this is brought out because this week on Thursday, boosters were approved for 5 to 11-year-olds for COVID-19 with these Pfizer vaccines. It just blows my mind that as data develops and as we know more and more about how it affects children, and even the documents that they presented actually point out that it would save 0 to 1 life vaccinating 7.5 million children. Okay. Again, 7.5 million.
Right. That's ignoring the safety data, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But they're saying that it might save one life. And yet they ran this through. And in fact, the CDC met on Thursday. And guess what, Stuart? The booster was approved by the FDA on Monday. No independent review board. Of course, the CDC, after it's approved, what are they going to do? Go against it? Or do you think they're going to just jump in line like everybody else? They can't be independent. Once something's approved and out there, is the CDC, I would question their independence on this independent review board anyway, but I will tell you that none of them have any kind of courage to say something after the FDA already has it out there. That's like, I mean, pulling something off the market is one of the harder things to do in medicine. Yeah, it's, but they set it up that way. The steamship was already heading to destination. The little tugboat wasn't going to change it.
That's right. And I think it would be appropriate in the coming weeks for us to review the data, some of the data that the government already has. For example, the affidavit or the declaration that Dr. Marks, who is the FDA's top immunization expert, who has been at the forefront of their that institution, his remarks in his sworn statement, I think, need to be loudly proclaimed and revealed for what they actually are, because it just continuously misinformation, unwillingness to hear any other perspective. This is just amazing. Once again, it's just shocking. And I was so proud of these brave warriors who have been fighting this fight for the last 2 years, who we are in agreement with. So proud of this declaration. This is a wonderful, much needed document. And I'm excited that we're going to have the opportunity to go through it.
So I think number two, Stuart, is pretty important. I think we declare doctors should not be blocked from providing life-saving medical treatment. Now, just the fact that we have to state that is pretty incredible, because that's almost like stating something that you would have never imagined any doctor would have to state.
As in, you are being blocked. It is a paradigm shift. It is a complete paradigm shift, is it not? It's amazing that the administrators of the hospitals are now the ones leading the determinations as to the treatments, and pharmacists.
And they're listening to the very companies that are making the treatments. And of course, right, what is the company going to tell you? The company, the treatment that they have a patent on, or a treatment that they don't have any information on or patent on?
Right. Whether it's
pretty easy to figure out which one's going to.
Right. When the pharmacies like Walmart initially was the one with Paxlovid, I do not know what they end up making per prescription filled of it. But it is so odd that they have been compromised and that they have agreed and gone in lockstep with this type of treatment plan. This courses of action is just amazing, that the doctors, our profession, has been silent in standing up for the responsibility that we have, the responsibilities we have.
Yeah, I was reading an article this week by a guy out of University of Virginia, but it was called COVID was liberalism's endgame. And it kind of compares Lockean philosophy and Hobbesian philosophy. And the problem is we've kind of too much focus on Hobbesian philosophy that men are terrible and that only Leviathan, the government, can solve it, as opposed to Lockean, which says men are rational actors that make good decisions for themselves. And, you know, evidence-based medicine, you know, and I'll read from the article, evidence-based medicine circumscribes the discretion of doctors, standardizes tests and curricula to the same for teachers. At other times, this same impulse takes a technological form with algorithms substituting for individual judgment on the grounds that human rationality is the weak link in the system. So again, this is assuming that doctors and their rational decisions are the weak link. For example, to stipulate that human beings are terrible drivers and must be replaced in a new regime of autonomous vehicles. The effect consistently is to remove agency from skilled practitioners on the grounds of incompetence and devolve power upward toward a separate layer of information managers that grows ever thicker. It also removes responsibility from identifiable human beings who can be held accountable for their decisions. So the beauty of this is not only does it say that the practitioners are stupid, but when the guys up, the middle managers and Fauciites that are up at the technocratic level fail, we can't blame them. It's the perfect setup.
That's right. I read that article and it's a 10-minute read, very quick read. It summarized the whole pandemic and the amazing response from those in authority, the elites, if you will. It summarized it beautifully. And sadly, to the point, if you have human autonomy and you make bad decisions, you have the responsibility for those decisions. There is no one that's responsible in the bureaucracies and the elites' game that they've rigged. Nobody's going to be responsible. It's the same scenario that happened back in 2008 with the market crash. I think one guy went to prison for the millions, hundreds of millions of lives lost throughout the world because of that economic implosion. And once again, we've said this before, we doubt, unfortunately, that our culture will hold anybody culpable for this disaster. And it's just human nature.
Well, I think, Stuart, it's been set up that way, that they can't be held responsible. And that's the problem. And I guess one of the things I will discuss even in our kind of podcast document is the difference between hard science and soft science or social sciences. And the problem is medicine has been infiltrated with a bunch of social scientists who believe that the rational actor is the problem, and instead what they need to do is just nudge people to do the right thing, because if they don't even know they're doing the right thing, that's how to solve problems. That's a courageless, technocratic way to think that you're important. And I think that's the problem, is what these guys up in Washington think is, we can't trust anybody out on the front lines. Therefore, we know best, and we know best. And the best way to do it is to not even give the guys that actually know what the heck they're doing a voice.
Right. It's, we've gone through the grief phase in a way for the last 2 years, our group has, because we're angry at what the Lords have determined, Lord Fauci and others have determined. But really, we're saddened. Ultimately, we're saddened by their hubris to think that one guy would ever proclaim himself to be the science in our country. He would be laughed out of the room in the past. But we have ourselves in a position that we are trapped by them. We've been trapped by them to the death of millions.
Yeah. And as one of our governor candidates here in Alabama says, is the amazing thing about this is that battlefield, when you talk about budgets or roads or business, there's some fighters there. There's some good economic minds. There's some men with courage. There's some men with philosophical and values. In medicine, we've been so focused on treating the patient and focusing on the science. This battlefield was ripe for government influence and interference in a way that really probably caught most physicians off guard. We're, you know, you didn't come to work with a battle axe, to fight for your right to take care of patients. It was kind of implicit. That's what you did.
Yeah, that's what our fathers were trained in. You know, the interesting dynamic is our fathers were trained, you tell the patient what to do, you gave orders. We were trained 25 years ago, and in the last two or three decades, it is a mutual agreement. You're working with the patient. You're helping them make wise decisions. It's not we're not dictating. We're coming alongside them.
Yeah, the goal of our, what I would call enlightenment or liberalism, is to actually view everybody as, you know, even the governing authority, grounded in shared rationality, the ability for individuals, your patients, everybody, to understand basic concepts and make good decisions for themselves. And really that everyone had access to that. And the problem is you have these guys like Fauci, who all of a sudden, they're the only ones that have access to the data, or they're the ones that know the science, or whatever they say, none of it's true. But what they do is they trick people into thinking that, well, you know, on that area, I don't know enough. I can't make a good decision for myself, so I must give up my rights in that area. And that's not how it works. I think as much as our fathers were probably told that they were paternalistic in their medical practice, they were paternalistic in a sense that they at least thought the person they were talking to understood and would do it. Because if they don't understand and won't do it, then it doesn't matter anyway. I mean,
it's an assumption that the person sitting before you is a moral agent unto themselves and has a responsibility. And so you want to bring them into the dialogue. And it's just amazing over the last generation or two how our responsibilities have been usurped, whether it's by insurance games or bureaucratic games. You got to jump through this hoop in order to get this pay. And we've been the frog in the kettle. We have just been so immune to fighting for what is right.
Stuart, I think that's how they see us. And I think that's the problem. All right. Well, we are going to go to break right now. Again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley. And we are with America Out Loud Pulse, which we are excited again to be representing health, freedom, and liberty and justice.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Surely, if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, Jordan Vaughn, and I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley. We're discussing the wonderful event that occurred last week, the monumental event, I believe. I hope this is the catalyst for the dramatic change forthcoming. When several doctors around the world got together and they convened the Global COVID Summit, and with Dr. Malone and Peter McCullough and Ryan Cole and several others, with 17,000 scientists and doctors signing the statement. I want to find a way, personally, I want to find a way, if possible, to sign it myself, Jordan. But we were discussing the 10 bullet points that they were bringing forth. And the third one we were up to was to, we declared that the state of national emergency, and I want you to talk to this, Jordan, the state of national emergency, which facilitates corruption and extends the pandemic, should be immediately terminated. Tell me your perspective on what this national emergency that we're still stuck in over 2 years later is all about.
Well, you know, the problem with any emergency, and we see this in politics now, and not just for an actual pandemic, which for this, I guess at some point, for a short period of time, we had an emergency. That was at the time, probably within the first month or two, when we didn't know the spread and we didn't know the fatality. We didn't know how its impact was. And that kind of gave the ability for suspending a lot of our, what I would call liberal rights, which are our human rights that are under that Lockean philosophical understanding of good self-government. But the problem with emergencies is we're getting a bunch more of them in every different area. And in all honesty, that's how our government, especially our federal government, currently operates. They operate from emergency to emergency to emergency, whether it's an emergency budget meeting to an emergency thing in Ukraine to an emergency war on drugs to an emergency, parents at school board meetings. I mean, the problem is that's not how good governance works. Emergency is a unique prospect of how self-governance allows the executives to overtake general form or general forum, and it should not happen easily, and it should not happen often. But instead, really, since the war on poverty, it seems like every stinking thing that's gone through the federal government is a war, is some type of emergency, and it's some type of war. It's some type of massive thing. It's not the basic governance of our society. And the reality is we need to get back to where all these national and state emergencies, health emergencies, are ended and terminated, because with them is where all those violations of our rights and the doctor's right to treat you, that's where they come from. You have complicitly given up your rights under the name of emergency. And a lot of people don't realize that. What they've got to do is get their officials to reclaim regular order. We are no longer in an emergency. And we have to do that for all kinds of things, not just medicine. But emergency, for the most part, means you are relinquishing your rights in the name of an executive who you think has better access and better ability to care for you than you yourself. And trust me, most people, that's not true.
Right. And what's so amazing about this, in declaring an emergency, you would hope there would be, you would expect there would be dialogue going in with the parameters laid out as to when this would end and your rights would be restored and your voice, your personal responsibility and obligations would be allowed for. But clearly, the emergency, they have learned a valuable lesson. They will declare emergency after emergency because we have no voice. We do not count. It's explicitly clear from them.
Yeah, since the original state of emergency in our state, all the governor has done is change the date. Even though I think she's limited to 90 days, that 90 days isn't, 90 days and then it has to be voted on. It's 90 days until she has to declare another 90 days, which is ridiculous. I mean, to me, we have to change these national emergency orders to involve your legislature, involve people that are actually, they're your representatives at the local level. I mean, I can understand a 90-day ability, but the fact that she can renew that without any oversight is baffling to me.
And because even worse than that, there's no discussion. Right. With that, and on top of that, there's been no dialogue about it.
And the problem is the federal government sets it up in a way that to receive the money that they dole out, you had to be in a state of emergency. So guess what our legislators happily did? Allowed the governor to continue her state of emergency because that meant more money to dole out to their constituents. Not, again, they were up there representing you. They were basically forfeiting your right to self-government or government in the regular order to be able to fill their own coffers and their own pet projects.
Because of the windfall of money.
No one will end it.
Yeah, because of the windfall of money coming from the federal government that now has us in unimaginable debt. But with the...
I read an article yesterday that of the $250 billion that was given to schools in the last American Rescue Project, which is Biden's wasteful bill that really set off the inflation, like 240 of it hasn't been spent. It's just sitting there because the schools can't even figure out what to do with it.
Right. And I bet that somebody's going to be creative in these bureaucracies to find a way to make their...
Well, actually, the article was about them asking the Department of Education people, the teachers unions are asking for them to open up the date to 2024 that they could apply. So meaning it's
clear they do not care about the children. It is absolutely crystal clear that they do not care about the children's well-being. And that kind of goes to the fifth point that they make, which is we declare masks are not and have never been effective protection against an airborne respiratory virus in the community setting. Once again, the masks, they're bad
for
people,
know that to
but
be
they
true.
Are really bad for children. And they're not just bad for them physically, but emotionally and psychologically, the development is just awful. And nobody in the bureaucracies, the education systems care. It's obvious they do not care.
Nor do they follow their own rules.
That's true.
I mean,
they don't have to, though.
I'm pretty... Exactly. You know, early in the pandemic, when I was helping some businesses locally get reopened because of the state and they needed a physician to be able to sign off to be able to open back their restaurant or their brewery, it was amazing to me that the very person like a Scott Harris or a Kay Ivey who advocated for this mask wearing, and again, this wasn't children, this was adults, but they had never sat back in a fry station at a local joint and tried to cook fries for 10 hours a day and wear a mask, okay? They thought mask wearing meant, oh, you mean I have to wear a mask when I go to the grocery store? Yeah, that's our lives are very different. I mean, again, as a physician or somebody in the white collar world, we get a little bit more ability to make decisions on what we do. And it seemed for a lot of people, it's like, well, it's not that big a deal to wear it to the Piggly Wiggly, but go talk to the cook who has to wear it 10 hours a day in a vented place that literally sucking everything up to begin with. And it's 200 degrees back there, and ask him what he thinks of this. And you know what? They never did. They never did because they don't give a crap about him.
Right. Well,
and that's the very person they act like they care about.
Right. If they are allowed to go to work, because several of them were not deemed essential, which is a frightening statement for a governmental figure to consider. But they certainly got away with it in the short term. Essential worker. What an odd concept in a supposedly free country that the government can declare such. Their next point was, we declare funding and research must be established for vaccination damage, death, and suffering. And no, our group of concerned doctors here in Alabama, we hope to help in that regard. We hope to help in, our, of course, in our own practices, but we would love to be able to help the state, the other doctors who are unaware of these things and the science based on how we can help people. We would love to engage in that. But heretofore, they have been completely unwilling to give any other narrative other than masks and vaccine.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work, just double down.
That's clearly.
Well, if it's not one dose, need four doses. But, you know, the other thing about that is a lot of people didn't realize that under the EUA of these vaccines, the ordinary mechanism, even though that mechanism is fairly poor, called the vaccine or the VIP, it's VCIP, I guess. It's the vaccine court is what you'll hear about. It's a it's set up for people that are injured by vaccines. It's an interesting mechanism. You actually fund the lawyers that defend the government. Because they come from the Department of Justice. But because this is an EUA vaccine, that even that funding mechanism for help from damage isn't even available to them.
Right.
And that's so that's the other amazing thing. I mean, it's bad enough to be injured by a vaccine, and it's bad enough to have to go through the vaccine court, which is set up by the industry. And definitely you have some pretty smart lawyers on the other side and all of their funded medical industrial complex attachments going against you. So winning there is hard enough. But imagine if there's none. You have no availability of even the government's own mechanism for basically compensating for death, damage, and injury. It's not even available to you. I'm sure everybody knew that when they got injected, right? I'm sure that was on the thing, right?
Sure, absolutely it was not. And what's interesting about it is these are not, you're referring to a lot of the history of this over the last 30 years where people were not mandated to receive vaccines. And they, believing the science at the time, went along with it, like Colonel Chambers and several others who we've spoken to. But these are mandated. So it's amazing that they would not have the mechanism.
They don't even have a choice.
Place. Right. It's amazing they wouldn't even have an extra level of protection for the citizens to receive protection after the injuries.
Yeah. As Robert Malone said, where there's risk, there should be choice. But at least where there's risk and the government's forcing it, there should be some type of mechanism for damage. I mean, that's just basic liberal government, in all honesty. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, again, we're talking about a administration that wants to give $450,000 to illegal immigrant parents that were separated, yet won't even give a dollar to somebody that's injured by a vaccine that was forced upon them.
Right. And
that's corrupt.
Yeah, to the core. The next issue, and I've got a wonderful example of what, or a sad example of this week. Number seven, we declare no opportunity should be denied, including education, career, military service, or medical treatment over unwillingness to take an injection. I don't know if you saw it or not, but three members of the Air Force Academy were graduating and they had refused and they are not going to be given a commission. And the Air Force is determining if they have to pay their education bills back to the government because they did not go along, but only three, sadly, four of them, I understand this passed before they bought into the scares and fears, and they went ahead and got the injection so they could graduate and get their commission and be an officer in the Air Force. None of the other branches in the military have gone this route yet. But that is simply amazing.
Again, it goes to show you that, if the vaccines themselves haven't been proven to be unimportant, especially to that aged person initially, they've been proven in the last year that they are completely pretty much all risk and no benefit for somebody in that age group. And it right. just, again, goes back to that. In medicine, I'm constant. I mean, how you treat COVID today, Stuart, is it different than how you treated it a year ago?
And it'll be different next month, maybe.
Exactly.
You go with the science.
Our global technocrats that literally, I guess, don't want to give one little chink. I mean, I guess it'd be a little chink in their armor that would say, oh, well, you know what? In that case, you know, it's really not useful for them. Or, hey, you know what? We don't need boosters in kids because 85% of them already had COVID. Like, at what point do we return to normal order when we talk about what's best for patients and that data evolves and that people's response to vaccines and treatments change and viruses change? I mean, that's what's baffling to me when you have this literally a wall put up that says you cannot question something that literally has proven itself to be questionable.
Proven. Well, remember they started, it's completely safe, completely effective, and it is neither. Yet we're going to go full speed ahead with their stupid, corrupt mandates and orders. It's the same thing playing again and again.
Again, it was just even looking at the children's thing, and hopefully no school. I think actually the California's at least this got knocked down that it would be ever required for school for 5 to 11-year-olds. But, you know, just looking at their own data that they presented, I mean, they presented, oh, well, 5 to 11-year-olds, probably 80% of them have had COVID. And then they present data in people who haven't had COVID. And you're like, well, those are not even comparable bodies. They have this study that's all these children that have not had COVID, and this is how good it is. Then they show how many kids have had COVID, 80%. And I'm like, well, you can't use this data in the real world. But they're using that data to implement a program in the real world, which is crazy.
Okay, Jordan.
So let's go on to the next one.
It looks like we have a break, and if we could, then we'll come up and summarize it and go on with some more updates of the COVID catastrophe.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
This is Dr. Jordan Vaughn with Dr. Stuart Tankersley, and we are continuing to review the global COVID summit that took place a couple weeks ago, and their principles that they laid out, and these 10 principles that I think we think are very important for reestablishing what I would call normal order in really both government and civil society, as well as how your doctor and your medical professionals interact with you. So we're going on to number 8, and I think this one is very important, and I think we have seen it not just in the medical world, but really in any world that disagrees with the ongoing narrative. And that's that we declare that First Amendment violations and medical censorship by government, technology, and media companies should cease and the Bill of Rights be upheld. I think, Stuart, this is again goes back to that when we have an emergency, which again, we need to cease and terminate these emergencies. What people don't realize is that's why all these things seem to be so off kilter, is because the government's basically saying your rights as an individual and your rights under the charter and constitution that were given to you are relinquished to the government because of this special time. And in reality, that's not how our country should work, nor should we be willing to so easily relinquish these rights.
Yeah, amen. And this is an important one for us to encourage our audience to understand that it's really your responsibility to speak out, to get involved, to understand that they have really encroached upon who you are as a person. The First Amendment violations. Hopefully next week or two, we're going to be interviewing pastors. The one pastor in the country out of Louisiana who was arrested, I think 7 times, for breaking the edicts of the Louisiana governor and the medical association down there. And I think this is our biggest encouragement has been, you can follow a lot of what we've been doing along with how to approach the people that are doing this to you on our website, concerneddoctors.org. We've been doing this for a year and a half, going on a year with the website, but for a year and a half, we've been getting together and we've been encouraging each other in the science, but also been encouraging each other to stand up stronger and louder against these abuses. And so with this one, it talks to the citizen. We need to encourage everyone listening to us to take pause and seek a way to for each individual to take the responsibility upon themselves to demand the cessation of these problems. I think this also brings to mind this.
And I will say that, you know, think of back on history at times that the United States has really allowed the executive branch or to really, you know, let the Constitution kind of waver. I mean, whether it's the Japanese internment or the Chinese immigration or you name it, none of those are areas that we have ever looked back upon and said, you know what, that was a good time to do it. You know, I think any time that First Amendment and censorship is basically said, this is what we need to do. I think any citizen, even if your knowledge of medicine or even if your knowledge of anything is not as good as you might want it to be, the second that they say the way to get this done is to void this right, you need to fight back, because anything that is worth doing is worth doing under the Constitution's God-given rights. Otherwise, it shouldn't even be considered. So if to do something requires the basically civil rights that you've been given and the Bill of Rights that you've been given and as a citizen, for those to be voided, you need to quickly say this. I don't care how important they may say it is. It doesn't matter, because if they think that to implement this needs to be voided, it doesn't. There's something else going on. There is something else at play. And I think people were smart enough to do this in many other instances, but for some reason, and I think it's fear, and it's because of the lack of knowledge about a disease, and then the media trumping the fear throughout the whole society, that people actually kind of said, oh, maybe in this instance, we'll let it happen.
Yeah, right.
But I think most people realized quickly that Oh man, we should have never given this up.
Right.
Because that inch became a mile.
Right. And I think along with the other things about the amendments, First Amendment violations, it goes on to point out the technology and media companies should cease in their abuse. They have constitutionally protected rights, but they have abused those rights in so many ways. And it's time to put some of the rights they've taken from us and see how they like the rights that they should have been exercising. But instead, they've been usurping our rights and taking liberty, to say the least, with their responsibilities. And one of the ones that's recent, of course, in everybody's mind is what Elon Musk did with his Twitter, taking over of Twitter, and the abuses that they clearly have been participating in. And he's so easily demonstrated. Turns out last week, good news, President Biden's Twitter followers, a majority of them, 51% are real people and 49% are not. But that's a positive spin on that.
Those technology companies, the only reason they're allowed to get away with it is because they're in collusion with the government.
That's
and so,
right.
Again, pressure points have to be back on your representatives, back on, your self, the government that we have needs to hear our voices that this is not acceptable.
And don't follow the media companies that declared on December the 10th, 2020, there were over two dozen, I believe, media conglomerates around the world that proudly proclaimed less than 2 weeks before the release of the vaccines or the biological agents, we will protect the vaccines. That was their declaration.
December 2020, I think.
Yeah. And Twitter was a part of it. Microsoft. So many that we know and have somewhat trusted maybe in the past, but they have completely lost integrity. And not only that, but last year in 2021, our federal government gave over $1 billion to different media outlets, even conservative ones, in order to promote the vaccine. So hand in glove.
Yeah, I mean, even the Ad Council itself, which probably gave that money out under the Human Health and Human Services. I mean, that if you want to know what propaganda is, the Ad Council is propaganda. Government advertising for beliefs, by the way, is kind of the definition. So regardless if propaganda sometimes it doesn't always have to be false, but when the government is picking a side and telling you what to do, again, it goes back to that. You need to start, if it doesn't pass the smell test, there's something else going on that citizens, again, rational citizens, people that we believe have the smarts and have the understanding of what self-governance means, which are, at least in Alabama, I think the majority of us can tell when something's gone amiss, that we need to stand up. And so again, I think number 8, we have to declare that those violations, regardless of the setting, can never be, literally should never even be instituted, much less upheld.
Right.
So then let's go on to number 9, Stuart.
Yes, sir. We declare, this is the 9th declaration of the 10 that the global COVID summit proclaimed a week or two ago. We declare that Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, Janssen, AstraZeneca, and their enablers withheld and willfully omitted safety and effectiveness information from patients and physicians and should be immediately indicted for fraud.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's no question now that they withheld that. And I think the judge that decided that Pfizer was going to have to release their trial data. Again, I don't know why Moderna, Janssen, AstraZeneca have not been part of this discovery where they're supposed to be releasing their trial data. I would hope that some lawyer is actively going down the same venue that Pfizer did, or the person against Pfizer did. But it is hard for people to believe, but the problem with even this statement is that our government, again, took away a lot of your rights to be able to go after these manufacturers and drug companies. And I think you did that because of an emergency that you didn't declare. And again, it goes back to the fact that when executives take your rights as an individual away without your permission, that that's wrong regardless of what's going on in society. And I think number nine, as much as I would say those people need to be prosecuted, it's going to be very difficult because our government has already really given them, I mean, basically immunity.
Yeah. Well,
and they knew that.
Yeah, they've given them immunity. Yeah, as you know, normally they give them immunity, but if there is fraud involved, they're not protected. But it's interesting with this, and this will be a part of our discussion with Dr. Marks of the FDA, what his declaration showed, as well as the data dump that occurred. They have been, when the government is complicit with the fraud, it's going to make a interesting discovery as to the importance.
I don't think anybody's ever seen the actual agreements, because I do know that, I mean, who knows what they actually say, but some of these might even have, it typically would say that fraud isn't, you're not indemnified from fraud, but I don't know that the documents don't even say that.
Yeah.
Because again, these things were signed without us even seeing.
But I'm afraid it won't matter.
It's
same with what happened in 08 with the economic implosion. Who's going to be held responsible? Yeah. And then, which dovetails.
That's where I look at Pfizer. Moderna's a little different story. Moderna's basically the government. But I look at Pfizer, and Moderna literally has no other product than this product. And they are completely associated with Fauci in every way and form. Pfizer, as a drug company, has many medicines that I use that I think are great. And for years has had a respected, name. The reality is that even in this world where the regulators are not regulating, but instead inducing the industry to make a product, it's almost too good to say no to. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't have, but when you look at what the actual sponsor of this vaccine is, Pfizer's really just a third party manufacturer of it. It's the CDC, the actual government that sponsored this vaccine.
The last point kind of dovetails in with what we've been discussing, and it's a very simple statement. We declare government and medical agencies must be held accountable. And when I think of medical agencies, I think clearly they're indicting the medical industrial complex, whether it's the government's intrusions in medicine and in the doctor-patient relationship, or the pharmaceutical companies. We all remember that when President Obama passed Obamacare, the single biggest entity in the medical industrial complex that donated money the most, I should say, the entity in the medical industrial complex that donated the most to the legislators and the president's efforts was the pharmaceutical industry. And former Senator of Louisiana, John Breaux, was the head of pharma, the big pharma lobby for all big pharmaceutical companies. They were the biggest contributor to making sure that went through. And so I think they, and as well as, unfortunately, the Medical Association, certainly American Medical Association, so many more. I think there are some organizations like the College of Pediatricians have been more forthright, as well as the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, to name a few. But then it's dozens of others, like our Concerned Doctors Organization, dozens of others, whether it is the FLCCC or frontline doctors that have given so many hours of free care to those citizens in the country that have been impacted with the virus. They have shown through this disaster. Unfortunately, the large majority of the medical industrial complex has revealed their heart and soul throughout it and continue to do so. But they must be held accountable. As we do every week, we report on Johns Hopkins, the mortality data from 185 countries around the world. We haven't fallen further behind. We are still 18th worst in the world. I think Poland is slightly ahead of us. I might have it backwards, but Chile, Poland, Latvia, those countries we're vying for lower ranking with, hopefully. But it's amazing that we have the most advanced culture, the most advanced supposedly system of science in the world that the world has ever known. And we're 18th out of 185. It is frightening.
Well, one thing I'd say, Stuart, thinking about it right now, the reality is we acted like a third world country in our response. So I guess we got third world numbers, right?
Yeah, that's
so that's
a great
not
point.
Surprising.
Yeah, a third world.
You know, we acted like Latvia.
Right. A third world country. Certainly the media has been co-opted. I think that the word Pravda, which was the USSR's daily newspaper, it might still be in Russia. And I think if I remember correctly, the definition of Pravda is truth in Russian. Clearly, the media has sold its soul like we have, like our profession has. And we just need to break the whole system. It's just so unfortunate that our heart and soul has been revealed as corrupt as it is. And we are so proud of these doctors and scientists for coming out so boldly this past week or two with this very timely and important statement that we would encourage all of our listeners to review for themselves and promote. Please send it to anyone that that is willing to dialogue with them, because that's what's going to take. We just got to encourage others to dialogue.
Well, that ends our show for this afternoon. Stuart, it's been great talking with you. And people, go to the Global COVID Summit. It's funny that I actually mix those words up. GlobalCOVIDSummit.org to read about this and do what you can to, again, really get doctors back to caring about individuals and making the best decisions for the patients that are in front of them.